This is the Afternoon Brief on Chai FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Now, interesting topics we are going to be looking at now in the weekly roundup. We're looking at rugby glory. We'll start on a sporting note. Also, a Hollywood-style gem heist and an heroic rescue. Well, Eliezer Enfield is here in studio to help us analyze exactly what is happening here. Eliezer is a news intern here at Chai FM. And just to give you some background, from a thrilling comeback on the rugby field that's keeping South Africa's sporting dreams alive to a court case involving an alleged multi-million rand gem heist that could rival a Hollywood script. And finally, a reminder that there are still those everyday heroes amongst us after Johannesburg Metro Police officers rescued an abandoned newborn baby. Eliezer, good afternoon to you. Great to have you in studio live once again. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me once again.
Oh, great, great, great. Okay, so let's look at the Junior Box, one step away from history, back-to-back dreams alive. Now, the Junior Box, they came from behind to beat England 53-37 after trailing at halftime. Just how impressive was that comeback? Over to you, sir.
Quite impressive comeback, of course. I mean, I thought the writing was on the wall for a bit there. They've been a bit underwhelming this competition. I think that their lack of strong enough opposition for a while meant they came into this game and the Welsh game before this in the pool stage a bit underdone, I think.
Okay, so let's look at the momentum. You've really put some analysis into this, and I just want to recap. The momentum seemed to shift dramatically in the second half. So what changed for us, and what does that tell us about this team's mentality and the progress in the sport for that matter?
The first thing that happened is in the 32nd minute, one of the English flanks was red carded. So that was probably the first sign of a turning point. The other thing was, of course, we can't have rugby without mentioning the bomb squad. So the bench played a big role in the comeback also.
Now we're looking at... Sorry, were you meant to say something else there? I didn't mean to...
I forgot about the
mentality
part. We can see that from this, that they've got... Even if they're not necessarily putting up the best performances, they have this mentality of showing up when it matters in the last 20 minutes of the game.
Now, interestingly, we're looking at France as becoming a powerhouse in the sport. So, from my understanding, they're now set to face for the French in the final after France eliminated New Zealand. Now, what kind of challenge does France present?
So, France have been investing in their under-20 program for a while. Something like 80 to 90% of their current players have actually come through this program in their senior side. And it's not every day that you hear of New Zealand being beaten in rugby. It's happened a bit more lately than it used to, but it's no small feat. So they beat New Zealand 26-22 in their game. And this was a New Zealand side that early on in this year drew a South Africa in South Africa. So I think France always are a very exciting team to watch because they're very much like love their attack. There's a bit of running rugby also. They're going to be probably our biggest threat in this competition, which is what you kind of want to see in a final. It should be a very exciting game.
Interesting. So we're talking about the Junior Box now. Let's look at South African rugby in its global reputation. I mean, we have the champions, don't we? The Springboks. And how important then are victories at under 20 level for the future of Springbok rugby, for that matter?
It's very helpful in terms of getting the mentality right at this age. On top of that, we can see it's almost a bit of like a cheat code because Rossi has already started integrating last year's under 20 champions into his senior side. So we already had insane depth, but now that we're investing in the junior programs also, it's almost like a never-ending conveyor line. We should definitely appreciate what lasts.
When we look at it beyond lifting another trophy, I mean, well... We expect them to lift this other trophy. What message would back-to-back junior World Cup championship titles send to the rest of the rugby world at this stage?
It'll show that South Africa are the unchallenged sort of champions of the sport. Not only champions, but also kings of the sport. It's never happened before, I think. Last year's under-20 title win was the first time since, I believe, 2013. Wow. For a while, the Junior Box were a bit average. because we tend to treat them as sort of like a bridging step between school rugby and senior rugby as opposed to a high performance environment. So it would actually be the first time in history that we defend the title.
Oh, wishing them all the best. And yes, just bring that trophy home, Junior Box. Now, the next conversation, the alleged gem heist, I'm really looking forward to this, stranger than fiction. Now, it sounds too unbelievable to be true. I mean, this alleged gem heist has drawn comparisons to Disney's National Treasure. Okay, let's begin there, Eliezer. Can you walk us through what investigators allege happened? Let's go through that first.
So in 2023, the Ekurhuleni Metro Police staged a raid on a property in Killarney. And from that property, allegedly, gems valued up to 14.9 million rand. So nearly 15 million rand was stolen. And of course, you can see from the face of it, there are a couple issues here. I mean, one of them is that Killarney is in Johannesburg, not in Ekurhuleni, which means it's not even in their jurisdiction. The second part is the fact that these precious artifacts, or precious gems rather, actually disappeared from the property at the same time.
Interesting. Let's just go over that jurisdiction issue once again. Yes. This has been one of the most surprising aspects there. Let's just recap. Is that the Ekurhuleni Metro Police allegedly carried out an operation in Johannesburg outside their jurisdiction. Why is that detail so important? Why is it so significant?
It is significant because when it comes to the Metro Police, they run by the Metro, the municipality itself. They're not run by the national SAPs, which means that they're only supposed to operate and enforce bylaws, which are passed by the city councils, in terms of that specific municipality. So this begs the question of how many other places has this happened?
I'm curious now. The prosecution has now withdrawn charges against one of the accused while proceedings continue against others. Now, what is this telling us about where the case currently stands?
It seems that they don't actually, at least to some extent, that the prosecution's case is a bit weak in terms of some of the suspects. It is a big problem in South Africa that often the police don't even find the right people. I think that this case was a lot of it was revealed possibly to do with the Madlanga Commission, but I must check that because I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, look, the story has understandably captured public attention because it really sounds like a movie plot, but let's look beneath the headlines. What bigger questions do you think it raises about public trust and accountability within law enforcement at this stage?
So firstly, how many jurisdictions are being overstepped? Are we seeing these sort of things turned into sort of fiefdoms? Is there behind the scenes collusion? So no, as it said, whether JMPD were aware of this alleged raid. Things like that we need to start to look at.
Well, certainly I'm going to summons you to studio and we're going to follow up on that story, Eliza.
Definitely.
Yeah, certainly is turning out to be a real heavy form plot here, but let's conclude on a far more uplifting story. Heroes on Patrol, a story of hope amid the headlines. Now, JMPD officers have rescued a newborn baby, which had been abandoned in Doornfontein. Okay, so tell us what happened. Let's start there.
So cops from the Rear VAR unit, so last week we talked about this, the bus rapid transit system in Johannesburg. So these are the people within the JMPD that are specifically responsible for guarding the buses and stations. They were on a regular patrol around the area and around the stations when they were approached by two people who said that they had heard a crying baby from a nearby veld. The officers then responded immediately and they found a baby who was with the baby was fully dressed, right? Fully clothed. And on top of that, was placed in a plastic bag. Then they called for help, so medical help, and the baby was taken to the nearby Heelbau clinic where it was declared healthy and also a girl. And then after this, they were taken to the police station in Heelbau where a case was opened.
You know, we often hear criticism directed at policing agencies. I did mention, let's conclude on, you know, a feel-good, light-hearted note. I mean, stories really like this remind us of the positive work that officers conduct every day. And I want you to tell us from your perspective, Eliezer, why it's important to highlight these acts of service alongside the more negative headlines.
There are a lot of people in the police that work within sort of a toxic environment that still try every day to do everything right. I know quite a while back we talked about the police officer and his coffee machine. That was one of the stories. So, and also, when you're always looking at the negative, it always seems like everything is going completely wrong. It doesn't help. Like, we need some good stories because it helps not only with things like mental health, but also just general, like, mood of the country. And also, this is not completely, but we mentioned the National Treasure movies, right, earlier. And I just wanted to say, they fall within strictly within the so bad it's good sort of category. But if you're looking for something entertaining, I'd recommend that. They're some of my favorite movies just because of how funny they are. So they are worth checking out in that aspect.
You know, we've seen, it's been a very diverse week. I mean, young rugby team inspiring the nation with grit and determination, this multi-million rand gem heist, and of course now the rescuing of a newborn baby. Eliezer, before I let you go, what stories should we be looking out for as of now? And what impact do you think they're going to be having on us going forward into next week and beyond?
So, of course, there's the Madlang Commission. We're seeing that a lot of people, including Suleiman Karim, who alleged that he was too sick to testify, and then he was spotted at a mall. It's very similar tactics we've seen to Jacob Zuma and his endless, like, Stalingrad tactics. Something we need to keep an eye on, where we actually need to be more thorough in who gets given, like, off sick. Obviously, within politicians. On top of that, I mean, it'll be interesting to see the... we talked about the Springbok woman briefly last week. So they ended up losing the second game against America, unfortunately. But it have made a lot of progress in quite a short time. And we should watch and see how the rest of the season unfolds.
It is always a pleasure having you in studio. And thanks so much for joining us today. Helping us, to really just recap on this week's biggest stories.